Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Peter Llewellyn. I run the services at medcomsnetworking.com. So, information services, resources, activities for people who work in and around medical communications, medical education, medical publishing, and the associated businesses across the globe. Quick shout out for those of you who are interested in joining the business, maybe as a medical writer or an account manager or an editor. There's a lot of resource at firstmedcomsjob.com, specifically trying to help you understand the business and guide you in. And over at Network Pharma TV, you'll find hundreds of videos. Everybody will find some useful content over there. There's videos on all manner of matters related to medcoms and the associated businesses. I'm just having a bit of fun at the moment. I'm talking to people around the world and talking to them about their own personal journeys and what they're doing in medcoms. So my so-called medcom stories. Delighted today to be joined by Michelle. Beaming in from New York. So Michelle, just I won't steal your thunder. You tell us who you are and where you are, and then I'd like to talk to you about your journey into Medcom. So where are you at the moment?
Thank you for having me. So my name is Michelle Springer. I work for a company called Caudex, which is an IPG health company. We have offices in the United States based out of New York. That's the office I'm affiliated with. We have an office in Toronto and then one in the UK as well. And I
Excellent.
am
Okay,
the
just give
deputy
us
director of medical editing.
excellent, excellent. Okay, let's get that in. And just briefly, people can look up Caudex and IPG, but just give us a sense of the scale. You said offices in the US and UK, but just give us a sort of numbers. How many people are in a company like Caudex, for instance?
A couple hundred in Caudex. A little hard to tell now with us working remotely in so many locations, but
Right.
yeah, not huge, but not small either.
Okay, but then IPG beyond that is a much bigger
Yes,
organization,
IPG
isn't
is
it?
much bigger.
Okay, all right. So look, we'll talk a bit more about that maybe a bit later on. But what I'm interested in is your background, how you came into medcoms, how did you find medcoms, how did you come into medcoms? So take us back to the beginning and tell us where it all started.
Yeah, so I made the transition into medcoms about 13 years ago. I've been with Caudex for the last 10 years, and then I worked for another agency for 3 years before that. And honestly, I found my way into medcoms, I would say, sort of accidentally. I had been
Right.
working, yeah, a lot of people say that. I had been working as a nonfiction book editor for a couple of years, and I was finding the work a little bit monotonous. Working on the same project for months at a time, I was kind of craving something more fast-paced, something that was more deadline-driven that I felt would motivate me and challenge me more. I applied for a position. At the time, the company was confidential in the job advertisement, so I didn't know it was Medcoms. Went on the interview, learned a bit about the company, and thought, this sounds interesting. I'd like to give it a shot. I ended up getting the position there as an editorial assistant. Worked my way up to an editor there, and then after 3 years was when I made the move to Caudex.
Excellent. Okay, so right, go back to that sort of stage. You're coming into Medcom, so you came in by accident. You didn't know much about Medcoms when you came in, but just again, a bit of context there. You're not a life sciences graduate, are you? You haven't got a medical or sciences type background, is that right?
That's right. Yeah, I was always interested in the English language. I always loved editing and writing and proofreading and anything that had to do with grammar and things like that. So when I was in school, I actually majored in English. I minored in journalism. My first couple of jobs, I did some freelance news reporting. I did some freelance producing for a news website. I was a book editor. So no background in life sciences. I actually minored in journalism and focused my studies on publishing. So I thought I would do something maybe in that wheelhouse. And then, like I said, I was doing some nonfiction book editing for a while and just found it
Right.
kind of slower paced, and I was looking for something a bit more challenging. So when I did go on the interview for the Medcoms job, I did have a couple of those thoughts, like, oh, is it going to hinder my progress that I don't have that background in life sciences? And I think in one sense, having that background could definitely be beneficial for editors because it gives you right off the bat, I think maybe a deeper understanding of the materials that you work on.
Right.
But I don't think not having it is a detriment in any way. I think the core of the job is focusing on the editing and the skills that you have as an editor you can apply to a lot of different industries. So while it might be helpful to have that background, I don't think it's a requirement for the job.
Okay, that's interesting. And I mean, even so, having said that, have you got a basic interest in medicine or science? I mean, would it be fair to say that, or are you fairly agnostic? It's just an editing job. I mean, am I making sense there?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say it's just an editing job. And before working in med comms, I don't know if I would have said that I had a basic interest in any of that. But since I've been working in it for so long, I've definitely developed an interest, and I find myself thinking about things in a way that I probably wouldn't have if I didn't work in med comms. And even just like noticing pharmaceutical advertisements on TV and knowing kind of what goes into that and
Right.
having that background and that experience. So if it wasn't something I was particularly interested in before, I've definitely developed an interest in it over time, and it kind of shapes the way I view my job now.
Okay, that's interesting. So again, I'm going to pin you down a little bit on in terms of those first the early days anyway, let's call it, coming into medical editing in med comms. People tend to talk in terms of, in med comms terms, they tend to talk about writers or cameras. Can you just explain a little bit and start, with that, you come in as a medical editor in the med comms. Just give us a sense of what you're doing on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, so it's funny because this is something I find that I explain a lot to my family and friends because they hear, oh, well, Michelle's an editor. And I think people just picture you with your red pencil marking things up. So the way I like to explain it to people who aren't really familiar with med comms is that we work with pharmaceutical companies to get their information out there. And as an editor, that involves a lot of editing abstracts, editing manuscripts, styling them to make sure that they meet specific requirements, checking requirements, being familiar with things like guidelines, regulations, copyright laws, just being like the source
Right.
of knowledge on that, advising our teams. So internally, we work with client services and the writers to really establish the content, make sure it's grammatically correct, make sure everything's coherent, concise, styled appropriately so that when it gets to its final destination, it's in the best possible shape it can be in.
Okay, which covers a lot of ground and is obviously quite important because I mean, it's a very flippant thing to say, isn't it? But I guess many of us do make this sort of comment from time to time. If you're producing an article about a medicine or something, it's quite important where the full stops go, sort of thing, in dosages and things like that. And it's from outside can often not entirely fully appreciate the amount of work that goes into making sure the quality control is absolutely right. And it's far more than just the grammar, the style, or whatever. There's that level of detail as well required. So all of that's happening, and I'm guessing, I mean, things must have changed over 13 years. You've gone from probably mostly editing written manuscripts or publications or whatever through the whole digital thing, haven't you? So your skills are now applied to, I don't know, websites, e-learning, what scripts for video. So again, just give us a sense maybe of the breadth of the work that you'd now be doing.
Yeah, so my personal background is primarily in publications. And I achieved my CMPP credential last year.
All right.
So yeah, a lot of my work over the last 13 years has focused on publications, but recently, as a company, we've been branching out a bit more and doing more with med affairs and commercial and promotional work. So while my Like me personally, I don't necessarily have a ton of experience in those areas. They're growing and we're doing a lot more work in those areas. So, as a company, we've certainly branched out and are taking on different types of work. And, like you mentioned, digital and e-learnings, meetings, and things like that.
Just out of interest, but you've mentioned meetings. Do you get to travel very much as an editor? And some of the writers and account managers, for instance, would talk about traveling quite a lot. In your role, would you travel very much?
No, not really. I'm a member of the Council of Science Editors. So for the last four, I didn't go during the pandemic, but for the last 5 or so years, I've attended the Council of Science Editors annual meeting, which has been great. But other than that, no, not really a lot of traveling.
Okay. Which I mean, and again, I'm just sort of thinking of the sorts of people trying to understand the different roles within Medcom. So you have some people like the traveling and maybe writing and account management or whatever. But if you know, some people don't like the traveling and maybe the editorial side maybe appeals from that sort of point of view. I know it's far more complicated than that, but I'm just trying to draw out some differences between the roles sort of thing. I just did think, as you were saying there, CMPP, we should just explain, is essentially, I'm probably going to get this wrong, but it's certification. Certified Medical Publications Professional, isn't it? From ISMAP, basically. So it's a sort of a professional certification. It's more about the ethics of publication planning than actually editing or writing, isn't it? I think that's probably a fair thing to say. So it means you understand publications and publication planning.
So yeah, the
That's the
planning, the
important part.
process, implementation, things like that.
Okay. So let's just think a little bit about the fact that you've now got a team of people. Yeah. Sorry. And again, maybe I should. I think you said that, but I might have just jumped to that one. So tell us what your position at the moment. You're in a position now where you have a team of editors. I think you're right. I'm right in saying they're remotely working with you. So just say a few words. Sorry, I've lost track of whether this is me remembering from previously when we talked, or whether it's me remembering from 10 minutes ago. Just explain the setup at the moment. You're running a team now, aren't you?
Yeah, so I work with the VP of editorial, the editorial director, and together we manage the team of editors based in the United States and in the United Kingdom. So together we kind of craft the forward vision for the editorial team. Under her direction, we figure out what our goals for the team are, where we want to take the team next. Making sure everyone is aware of developments in the industry and just working with our team to make sure everyone is delivering the best possible quality from day to day and supporting them when we have busy times, helping each other out when certain accounts are busier than others. So it's
Okay.
a really great team to work with.
What, half a dozen of you or so in the team, isn't
Yes.
it?
Well,
Okay.
Overall, probably closer to about 12 right now, and
All
then
right.
I manage 4 people.
I'm with you. Okay. Okay. So and so just out of interest, from that point of view, managing a team of editors, you know, what's the sort of training like for an editor? What How much of that is in-house training? And I'm going to go on to ask, what are you looking for somebody coming into the business sort of thing? Just talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so it depends what level people are coming in at, if they're coming in at an entry level or if they're coming in at a more senior level. But for those coming in at entry level, we have a really great in-house training program that provides training and hands-on activities, great mentoring program, great review system to really get people the experience and the knowledge that they need in order to be able to work on their own within a year of starting with the company.
Okay, and just give me a little bit more of a sense of what people are going to be doing in terms of this training, but I'm particularly interested in the entry level, right? So
Yeah.
what sort of training are they going through? What practically, what are they doing?
Yeah, so some of it is sitting in on sessions, learning about copyright and what it is and when we need to get it, learning about ethics and how they apply to what we do, learning about good publication practices and things like that. And then other is hands-on, so editing example abstracts or sample manuscripts, and then having those reviewed by a more experienced editor, reviewing the feedback and understanding exactly what we're looking for, reviewing style guides because those differ between different accounts, and
Right.
becoming really familiar with the house style and then also a specific client style depending on which account you'll be working on. So it's a lot of things like that.
That's, and again, this is the sort of thing we covered quite a lot of ground there in those few sentences, actually. But you know, that's one of the things. Again, it's people sometimes are surprised, I think, when they come into the business. You know, those different styles. You know,
Yeah.
and Cordex has its own way of doing things, but there's a client, and the client may have their own way of doing things, and you've
Yeah.
got various other bodies imposing stuff. So I guess part of the trick is not to get too locked into just doing one thing all the time, because you've got to figure out the right thing for the right time, and journal styles and all this sort of thing can be
Yeah.
quite complicated. The copyright, I smiled slightly when you said copyright, because that's something that I first find quite bewildering, I must admit, and I think a lot of people do find very bewildering. But again, it's just one of those big important things that people have to grapple with in something like medcoms, and the copyright licensing and so on is important. So that's very much in your sort of court sort of thing. All right. So look, I think it's absolutely, it's fascinating listening to you talking. I guess the obvious point is you were bored doing your book editing. I get the sense you're not bored doing this. Is that a fair sort of comment to sort of finish on?
Yeah, that's fair to say. A lot of people like to ask what a typical day is like, and I find that question really hard to answer because one day could be so vastly different from the day before. You might spend one day working on a manuscript all day, but then the next day you might have three abstracts or a meeting with someone or a training session. So it's hard to say what a typical day is like because I don't think that there is a typical day, and that's one of the things I really enjoy about working in medcoms is that it is unpredictable and it is deadline driven and it's fast paced, and I prefer that in a work environment.
So you found your home there. This is good.
Yeah, it's exciting and I like it. So
Excellent. Excellent. Okay, look, I know we could talk longer, but we should draw a line there. So thanks so much, Michelle, for joining me. It's great fun listening to people talking about the work they do, and the enthusiasm comes across, and it's just fun. I know I can speak for you and say that if anyone's listening to this and wants to follow up and find out more about editing, and generally in medcoms, they can contact you. LinkedIn is an easy way to do it. Yeah. So okay, for the moment, I'm going to say thank you so much and wish you all the best. Just ask a little wave and we'll say goodbye to people. So bye. Okay.